All right, let's go. 1, 2, 3. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast, your only source for the local and international metal and alternative news. Mansoor, I think this episode is a pretty good one. It's as opposed to the average outing that we had last week. I'm pretty excited about this one. How about you?
Yeah, super excited about this one. It's definitely going to be way, 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 way above average. So
yeah. Yeah. We got an interesting guest today, and you know what? Let's not dilly dally around. Let's not like mess around. Let's just get right into it. Our guest today is a prolific artist, songwriter, producer, recording engineer, mixing engineer, three-letter named nickname artist that people don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Hamandi? Is it Hamad? Is it, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he'll tell us now. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hand together and help me welcome Hamandi.
Pleasure to be here with the Rock and Roots.
Hamandi, why don't you go ahead and, you know, let's assume that people don't know who you are.
Okay, so it is Hamandi, you're correct.
I'm glad I got it right. Yeah. That was one of the first questions Mansoor had, like when he was reading your name.
How do you pronounce your name? I get a lot of variations. There's Hamand, there's, people say all sorts of things, and I don't mind any of it. It's okay, yeah. It is Hamandi. I'm a musician, guitarist first, and then I like to say a drummer trapped in a guitarist's body is how I introduce myself most of the time. I do music production. I've been making music since I was 15, so that's 16 years ago, which is a lot of time. I'm in the progressive metal band Wazn. I released stuff under my solo project Hamandi, and that's pretty much it. I like to make noise of all kinds.
Nice, yeah. And you're pretty prolific in the noises that you make, right? So we're gonna get into that. But before we get into that, this is a music podcast at the end of the day, all right? I don't know what podcast you think this is, but this is a music podcast, so we're gonna have to talk a little bit about some music. So why don't you tell us what you've been listening to lately? Anything you want to highlight? What's been recently tickling your fancy? What you've been listening to? And it doesn't have to be. So, you know, the assumption here is that it has to be metal. It doesn't have to be metal. You could.
Okay.
You
know. Okay.
I'll tell you something. I have a confession, Hamandi. I've been up today. I've been listening to Charlie XCX. Okay.
Interesting. The remixes.
I've listening to the record. Yeah, the remixes. Yeah, I think it's great. It's pretty good. It's not bad at all.
I haven't heard it yet.
You should.
Then again, I haven't heard the original one either.
Me neither. I'm late on the Brat on the Brat summer.
Over for you.
Yes. We're definitely gonna get hate mail for this, yeah, for sure.
Brat summer.
I've been listening to the latest Harriet album a lot. Devoured from the Mouth of Hell. I think that's what it's called. A great album. It's insane. They it used to be a lot heavier, and now there's some kind of soft stuff, which is nice. Yeah,
industrial. There's a lot of strong industrial element. Like it's like
for sure, but
Chelsea Wolf mixing a little bit of Typo Negative with a little bit of like the hardcore heavy stuff. You know, like sweetie, it is an incredible record. Yeah,
it's so good. And the latest Sungazer record. I'm a huge. I wouldn't say huge, but I love jazz. And Sungazer skirt like between progressive metal and like fusion and jazz. Their latest album is pretty cool. It has some nice features on it, like Pliny and Josh De La Victoria and a lot of other cool artists. Alt is another band I've been listening to. ALLT. It's like old school. I wouldn't say old school, but like Architects era metalcore meets Viljarta type vibes.
Village Hertha.
Pretty nerdy. Yeah. and that's pretty much what's been on repeat these days.
Did you? Awesome. I want you to listen to. I wonder if you've listened to the new Blood Incantation album.
I have not.
Oh man, you should.
I don't know. It's not your thing, right? I don't know if you're like into like death metal or old school death.
I love
metal,
that.
Right? You do. Okay.
More technical, but yeah, no, I do love that.
Yeah. You like the tech stuff, right? What was the recent band that starts with Z?
Zenith Passage. Yeah.
Zenith Passage. Thank you. I know that you like that record, but so Blood Incantation is not tech death, and it's not like modern by any standard. And honestly, like, I didn't get into any of their older records, but this record is something else, man. This is especially because I know that you're into a little bit of the electronic synth kind of stuff. Mm. So yeah, you're gonna really enjoy that record.
Okay, gonna save it right now.
Thanks. Yeah,
it's gonna be on everybody's list of top like albums of the year
for this year. Huh?
Yeah, definitely.
It's been a good year for albums. I was telling Mansoor last episode, like, dude, like bangers after banger, like that's been coming out this year. Knocked Loose, High on Fire. Yeah, Knocked Loose is right. And like these bands are releasing albums that are pushing the genre forward. So I feel like Blood Incantation is pushing death metal genre forward. I feel Knocked Loose is pushing the metalcore.
Hardcore adjacent.
For me, hardcore sounds something different. Hardcore for me is like Pain of Truth. It's like Incendiary. It's like that kind of stuff. But they are adjacent. They are definitely like within that scene for sure. But in the metalcore, like they pushed it forward. High on Fire, incredible record. And if you could, Harriet, that we just talked about, Harriet, that's another incredible record.
Kublai Khan.
Oh, yeah.
That record was nice.
Dude, like the opening track, I just love listening. Sometimes when I'm like down or I want to just like hype myself up a little bit, I just listen to that opening track. The new Khan in the English language. King.
King Kong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but that record was pretty good as well. No, incredible year so far for records. Mansoor, have you been listening to anything worth noting before we move on?
Honestly, I'm really looking forward to Opeth and Devin Townsend and maybe the Jerry Cantrell album. Those are the ones that I'm looking forward to. But yeah, the Blood Incantation one definitely has been on repeat. Slope and I don't know, so many others, man. So many. It's a great year. Yeah,
I know. It's been a great year and looking forward to more releases, actually. I don't know if there's, I don't know what else is coming out this year, honestly, from the top of my head, but there's a couple of things I think that are coming out. In any case, dude, Hamandi, why don't you just start off by, you know, one of the questions that we had here on our mind is, you know, you have a pretty prolific discography of your own solo stuff and like working with the different types of bands. So like you mentioned Wezen is a like a prog metal kind of sounding metal band, right? And then your solo stuff is definitely like it plays around in the metal genre. Like I mean actually if we go to your beginning stuff, right? Your instrumental, like obviously heavily influenced by The Contortionist, heavily influenced by Cynic, heavily influenced by Tesseract, you know, like you can really hear those influences. Even to this day, I think up to this day, like
for you're sure. still, it's definitely those three bands in particular.
Exactly, like that's what I'm hearing. But then, you know, I started noticing that you started a little bit to kind of diverge there a little bit during in your last records and last efforts, you know, started exploring more ambient electronic, you know, music. Like, where did that come from? You know, what's happening there?
I had a side project called Fenrir, and it was, you know how like
people what is it called?
Fenrir, Fenrur.
Okay.
It's a Final Fantasy reference. Nerd. You know how like people who sketch have like sketch dumps? So it's whenever they like wanna, you know, just put out anything that's not a main sort of thing, they do it on a sketch dump. And that like artist name was my sketch dump. And then I decided the genre doesn't really matter. Like, I could put out anything I want because it's always going to be me. It's always going to be my style, how I approach these different genres. And I don't know, it just keeps things interesting, keeps things creative. I don't feel boxed in. You can get bored of doing the same sort of sound. And I think just trying different stuff genre-wise really like opens up different doors. And it can always swim between all of these influences. And even the stuff that I do that's electronic always has like metal, you know, tendencies here and there, or like a riff just is thrown in randomly. I just wanted to be open and try anything. Yeah, I mean, the stuff that I'm putting out not anytime soon is well, there's lo-fi stuff, there's like a drill inspired track, Fi Waid Arabi, you know, like
okay.
I'm just trying to go as different places as possible to find sort of new sound.
I really like when artists experiment. Like one of the recent records that we talked about actually in another episode was Show Me the Body, right? Like they're pretty experimental. Like I don't know, they call them experimental hardcore or whatever, but yeah, they're pretty experimental and, you know, a bit interesting, right? The genre pushing, they're doing different things in their records. So from your perspective, do you think that doing stuff like that, where you're experimenting with different sounds and you're trying different sounds, is gonna like confuse people, or do you not care? Like, I don't care. I just want to do what makes me happy. I don't care if the listeners get confused and don't know, oh, Hamandi, what kind of artist is he, and stuff like that. You know,
that is something I worry about. Not like, yeah, I mean, I'm not super anxious about it or anything. It is something I worry about. I've been trying to slowly ease, you know, the fan base I have into, you know, having the idea in the khalas, and this guy is gonna jump from different genres. You can't expect the same stuff to come out. And stylistically, it won't be the same. And conceptually, I try to link some stuff. The last couple of releases, I did Fihum, a lot of like self-referential stuff happening. So I think that at least ties each song or each release to the other. Miss. Otherwise, I it's my music. I'm gonna release what I want to release.
Do you feel like you found your sound, or you're still trying to explore what's out there in terms of like instruments and, you know, different sounds?
I think what I discovered through the years is that groove is the most important part for me. Like harmonies are cool, and like, you know, different melodic stuff is cool, but the most important thing that moves a song for me is groove. And I think it's just about writing stuff that makes me want to move, regardless of what genre it is the most important ethos in terms of writing. But I don't know if that qualifies as a style or a specific sound. I've been told by people that when they listen to something that I put out, and they can tell that's me, but I don't know. I don't know that yet.
Right. Tell us a little tell us a bit about the singing. You started off as an instrumentalist. All of a sudden, the last couple of releases you signed to the Wall of Sound, and all of a sudden your releases now have singing in them. Is this something? Is this something that you've always been comfortable with, or did you have to like all of a sudden do it and learn it? And why did you decide to do it? Is there something that kind of pushed you to go towards that?
When I started playing music, especially live, I used to do mostly acoustic sets with me singing. I sang from a very young age, and then I stopped and didn't pay any attention to it whatsoever. I wrote melodies and stuff like that, but I never practiced or had it as like a main thing that had to stay in the music. I was focused on making instrumental stuff, and that was it. And it was actually Wazen that kind of forced me to to start singing.
Yeah, you do backing vocals on that project.
Even writing stuff, because sometimes I write vocal melodies, instead of having to explain stuff to Abbas or you know, like doing it on notes, I could just record it. So I recorded it and I sent it to the guys, and they're like, sing the part, dude. why are we doing this? But it really encouraged me to take more opportunities to become a vocalist. And now it's a mainstay. And I don't think I have any instrumental stuff in the horizon.
Did you notice? did you notice like more people?
It's been. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Did you notice that more people are, we're having a little bit of a connection issue here, but I don't know if you can get, yeah. So did you notice that there was more, a more positive response to your music now that you added vocals? Did you get like more listeners? Did you feel like, in all your, you know, there are more people now following you because you added singing?
Yes, for sure. And I understand. Yeah, I mean, it's, if you want to relate to music, you're going to have to need lyrics and some sort of voice, yeah, and something human about it. Yeah, people have been more responsive to the stuff I put out. And even the subject matters of the songs are clearer, if they can, you know, sort of take away whatever meaning they want to from the lyrics. It's definitely given depth for me and for people who listen to my music.
Right.
But I noticed even the production quality has really evolved over the years from your first release to present your present day releases. How did that kind of come about for you?
Just practice, man. I'm here all the time. I'm in the studio just trying to make stuff sound better. I did some online course stuff. And of course, you know, I surround myself with a good bunch of peers who I can send my music to, and they can sort of critique it in terms of mix, in terms of composition, in terms of production. And I'm always trying new stuff, and I'm always trying to, you know, get a better sound quality out of the stuff that I make. It's been a journey, and a lot of the stuff that I've released in the past are things that I'd like taken off the internet for sure. With every song, I feel like I learn something new and I sort of try to implement it. And even with the EP, I gave the mixing duties to someone else as a learning experience for me to see what my sound is going to be like if someone is mixing, mastering, all that kind of stuff.
Which EP?
Cataclysm.
Oh, okay.
It was mixed by one of my good friends, Jack Byrne. I learned a lot from just the sessions with him and how he approached everything. So it was really
moving forward. Cool. After that, you're the one that developed the guitar tones, mixed, produced, mastered as well, or do you give mastering to someone else?
It depends on the song. Stuff that I feel that I'm happy with the quality. I feel like the mix is good and I can master it myself. I just put it out. I've worked with a couple of people. I've worked with Jack again on Incredible. I work with my good friend Sasha on Like Water. It's a mix of stuff. I've noticed and I feel better doing the mixing and the mastering for the electronic stuff. But when it comes to things that are like metal or rock, more instrument leaning, I like to give those to people. I think from here on, it's probably going to be all me.
Dude, I just remembered, one of your tracks was did you get Will Putney to master it?
Yes, but I don't know what's going to happen to that track.
It's a track that's unreleased. Oh, okay.
Hey, it's unreleased. Let's see.
I have a question. Since you're a multi-instrumentalist, what's your main instrument when it comes to writing music? Is it one or a bunch?
It's definitely guitar. When I write riffs, there's always drums happening here. I'd say I'm writing both the guitars and the drums at the same time. So when I'm approaching writing something, maybe 80% of the time it's guitar. There are some stuff that I just hum on a voice note, and then I have to come to the studio and bring it to life. Yeah, Incredible. Maybe 85% of that song was written purely on voice notes. With just melodies and riffs that came to me in my head, and I had no access to any sort of guitar at the time, or whatever, a laptop or something. So I had to just write the whole song on voice notes. These days it's coming from different places. I'm starting with drums a lot these days, or if I just have a cool synth thing happening. That really depends on the project. But I'd say for all of my releases so far, it's been mostly a guitar-first approach.
Yeah, I think awesome. Incredible has out of all your releases, my favorite guitar tone in it. Incredible. Plus, what's the other song on it?
What If We.
What If We. So that's the What If We is more like electronic, but like the Incredible is like it has like a pretty good, like my favorite guitar tone out of all of your releases.
Thank you. Very very slurpy.
Yeah, very very chuggy. Very. So listen, we follow you on Instagram, right? We watch your stories. I noticed that you committed the cardinal sin of purchasing a DJ deck. Are you selling out? What's
going on? it was actually a birthday present. One of my friends who has been wanting to be a DJ for ages, literally since we were kids, and I keep telling him to just buy a deck and خلاص, go for it.
What's the return policy on that?
No, I'm actually interested, to be fair. I'm actually interested. And I think it could be a cool like learning experience. And I don't think I'm going to do any like events. Maybe who knows? Yeah, I want to like, you know, do a party with friends. I think that could be really cool, man. Just to test the waters. So I have to learn.
Hamanti is a DJ, a good DJ name. It could work. Could, you know, it's three letters, very easy, you know, very catchy. Do you have since you work with international, like, actually, you know, I actually don't know. Do you work as a sound engineer full time? Is this something that you're doing full time, or is it?
It's definitely like a side hustle at this point. Because I have a day job, I do IT in the oil and gas sector. But when that's done, I'm here. Like almost all the time, but I try to dedicate as much time to doing client stuff. But I've recently sort of I'm full in writing mode, but I'm not really taking on a lot of clients. I'm doing features here and there, but that is on pause for now.
What kind of client work do you do like commercial stuff, or you're talking about local bands in the scene? What's your
local bands mostly? Yeah, local bands mostly. And I like to work with people who, are people I like. Because I used to be a videographer at some point, and working with clients that, like, you know, you don't have any chemistry with can be pretty devastating. I started hating, like, making videos for people. For the music, I know it's probably not the right way to do it, because if you want to become a good sound engineer, you have to take on lots of projects and sort of, you know, be open with opportunities. But I decided to be a bit pickier. I just work with people who I think are cool.
I mean, I think that's an option for... Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's two things. It's like you're developing, so you take on all these projects in different areas that you might not like, so you develop further, right? Or, you know, you could think of it as, you know what, it's a side hustle at this stage. You're doing it for fun and doing it to make a little income on the side. You don't have to take on projects that you don't like, right? You can take on the projects with the people that you like, that you will have chemistry with, to build these friendships and do something really cool. Which leads me to my question, like, what's your, you know, approach to working with, if you can name some of the clients as well that you worked with, we'd love to go here. And like, I'm sure people would love to go check them out as well and hear them. And what's your approach in working with them? You know, tell us about one of your favorite projects that you've worked on. What was it like? Did you contribute to the music writing process, or is it more like, you know, just the producer kind of relationship with the artist? What is that like?
Yeah, I think the band I worked with most would be Srai.
Quit.
Abzi's
other band,
But that process was really cool because I did a little bit of production as well, and some like drum programming adjustments, even though the drums are recorded on an e-kit to Anibis. If I had any ideas, they were completely open to it. But that's been cool. I worked with Anna Nahan on their last record, the final track of the record they put out. But that was also like a mixing and production and songwriting sort of gig. There's some cool artists from Bahrain that I worked with recently. Abdullah Al-Malki, I did like a folksy kind of bluesy rocky song with them.
Is that out or is it not out
yet?
Nice.
What is it called? So we can look it up.
It's called I'm Bad with Names. What is it called? I'll send it to you guys in the future.
I
can look it up
so that we can add it to the playlist as well, because we have a playlist of songs that we discuss in the episode, so we want to add it to the playlist as well.
Cool. Well, there's a pop song I worked on with this great artist called Jasmine Valco, Bahraini Abad. Pretty cool stuff, man. It has like a Dua Lipa vibe. Pretty interesting.
Okay, so you also produce like pop stuff as well.
That was my first like attempt at it, and it was fun, and nothing I imagined I'd ever do for Hayati. But it was an interesting experience.
Would you like to produce? Sorry.
Go ahead.
Now that you've done pop, and you mentioned you like to listen to jazz as well. I mean, are you willing to work on like other genres as well in terms of like music production?
For sure. I've worked with jazz artists, stuff that hasn't been released yet from Bahrain. And I think generally I'm just open to anything that I am a fan of or can be a fan of. And if it's something like reggae, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what value I add to that. Maybe there's something. Or like ska.
You know what I mean?
But I'm pretty open to work on anything as long as I can vibe with it. That's the only thing.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You have a DJ set as well. I mean, you have to put that to good use, right?
At some point in my life, probably.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your, the local scene in Bahrain and like playing live. Are we ever going to see Hammandi live? Like, what's the reason why Hammandi is Hammandi a solo project because you want it to be a solo project, or is it because, the usual problem that we have here in the local scene is like maybe not enough people around that are there, the same mentality, the same kind of taste in music, same approach to, with chemistry and stuff like that. So, what's going on there in terms of live playing?
It's a two-layer problem. One of it is that I really want to do it right. I'm not a perfectionist by any means, but when I want to go live, I want it to be like an experience, because I don't know. I feel like a good reason of why people come to see an artist live is to see how they're like and get some sort of really cool experience out of it. And I don't want to just go and play the stuff exactly how it was, in the studio version. And I want it to be a bit different, a bit like improvisational, maybe looser with structure or with the melodic choices or whatever it is. And that leads to my other issue, which is finding the right people. And I think I finally, like this year, found the right people. And I hope that by next year it's more of a reality. I'm taking live gigs as well this year, which is a first for me. I've never played live with anyone. Yeah, I've played live in like open mic nights and stuff like that, and I played once with a backing track, but that's not a legit sort of thing. But this year I'm playing guitar. This year I'm playing guitar for a local artist here who's got a gig, and that's going to be interesting. And I don't know. But that, for me, will be probably the learning experience and sort of the entry to that field. And hopefully you'll get to see Hammandi sometime next year. Hopefully.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I mean, do you have at least like a vision of what you want your live setup to be like, or you're still working on it?
Yeah, ideally, I'd like to not touch any guitar. That'd be great.
Interesting.
Interesting. I thought of the opposite, like maybe you'd be like the main guitar player playing lead.
I think it would be pretty cool to have a guitarist who's much better than me, like, you know, like really, you know, dig in and play some insane riffs and evolve sort of the sound that I have. And I think of Mishal from Wazen all the time, and I think he's probably going to be the one to do that. But see, for live, I'd like to do synths and vocals. That's, you never know, man. I could be doing guitars. Ideally, I just like to be on the synth and on vocals.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's an interesting, Yanni. This is a problem, I think, that a lot of artists are facing here. And the main issue, which is interesting because you just, you know, we were talking offline about you recently buying a drum set. That's one of the main things that are missing here. Like everybody, guitarists, يعني في السعودية وفي البحرين, أعتقد are a dime a dozen. Like if you can find
them everywhere.
like, yeah, exactly. Like a variety of different level of skill, right? Bassists, every failed guitarist is a bassist. Sort of the big.
Oh my god. Goodbye everyone. I'm out.
So, for those listening, Muslim music switched off his camera.
He's okay.
The issue is the drumming, man. The drumming is like it's hard because first of all, not everybody is willing to spend money on a drum set. It's expensive. Mm. Second of all, the drums, if you're gonna go the acoustic route, it's pretty goddamn loud, right? It's really loud. Yeah. You know, not every family is willing to have that in their house, you know. So it's like
exactly. Yeah. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, we haven't had as recently as, you know, as much of the facilities that are available now where you can go and learn. And in Saudi here, I'm talking like about the education centers where you can go and learn drums. Take on courses, and they have a drum set in their room, so you can go learn there. I don't know, maybe down the line, or in 5 years, you're gonna see some crazy drummers, you know, in the scene. But like for now, it's like,
there's some pretty cool people in Ifl Bahrain. There's definitely been at least four that I've considered as like candidates to do this with. But I think that a very important thing is that you can vibe with the person, and you know, count on them to be there. And also that, yeah, if you're ever doing any sort of work with anyone, that they have to like commit and, you know, have that mentality and that they want to do their absolute best. Finding all of that in a drummer and bad, you know, it's difficult. But happens. And I don't want to do like e-kit stuff. I see an e-kit on a stage and I want to
I hate seeing an e-kit on stage. I hate seeing especially like the more low end it is, the more like I'm like, dude, what is this, you know, what are we doing? And I don't mean to sound like I'm putting people on blast here, but also like bands that like this trend of bands going on stage without a drummer as well. Like, come on, dude. This is something that's also I cannot get behind as well, honestly. I understand there's a lack of talent and, you know, you can play with a backing track. But, like, backing track, maybe to emphasize certain things in your live performance, but not to outright replace an entire...
There's no power in it. There's no power in it. You don't feel anything like, coming from the stage and like, hitting you in all the right places. Drums, they're a necessity.
Yeah, I have to admit though, like from my experience, when I played live at I'm not going to name the venue, but it was a pretty small stage, and I was, as a bassist, I was standing next to the drummer, and after that show, I swear, I almost went deaf because, you know, I had to stand there, and it was just so bad, and it was live drums. It wasn't like an e-kit. I wish it was at that day was like an e-kit. You know what I mean?
You know, that leads to a point about also the culture of going to music gigs and loud music. Not a lot of people understand that, you know, hey, you need to get earplugs.
Protection matters.
You need to protect your ears, even for musicians themselves, which kind of leads me to my question about Bahrain. Like, is the what's the music culture like there in terms of like gigging and stuff like that? Is there like gigs happening every week or at least every other week? Are there, you know, does the live sound, the venues have good live sound, or is it something that you guys are struggling with?
Well, it varies. And in terms of the frequency of gigs, it's definitely a seasonal thing. Yeah, there's less stuff happening in the summer. Unless it's indoors, it's, you know, sporadic in terms of how it is. Best when the season hits, there's like gigs everywhere of all kinds. Metal, maybe not as much as everything else. But it's bad. There's a lot of new bands and new artists popping up for Bahrain Hellfethra. There's some sort of energy shift happening. You're seeing a lot more people perform.
Really? Okay.
Different genres. And venues are opening up. One of the venues, and I won't name names, that we have, it used to be like purely like this techno house club, and now it's like opening up to more different types of music. So I think that's the key. And if we can turn all of these places that only cater to a certain audience to sort of accept different sounds, different genres, and things can sort of elevate.
Yeah.
But,
dude. Like that's what they should do. All venues should be. Yes, there are venues that like. You know, if you're talking about like in America and Europe, whatever, yes, there are venues that are legendary for having, you know, the best rock scene or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's fine. That's great. But there are also the best venues as well. Some of the best venues are like one weekend, it's like High on Fire is playing. Then the next weekend, it's like some weird DJ electro kind of techno, whatever, house artist. The next weekend, it's like some goth industrial thing. So it's like, it's not, you know, it doesn't have to stick to one genre. And,
sure.
That's the challenge for venues here, is that they need to understand the differences between these and how you can cater for them in order to make sure that the venue, the performance is fun for the performer and the audience, right? So that's the main challenge, I feel.
For sure.
I mean, there are venues here, like, you know, I'm also not going to name names, obviously, but like I went there and like you see the management, like they hosted like some pretty aggressive metal music, and you can tell that the management are like, what did we just get ourselves into? You know, what are we doing? You know, what is this? Who are these people? Why are they crazy? And what is this music? You know, but they need to understand that, like, yeah, music comes in different forms, right? And you need to be able to cater to these different crowds.
Yeah. Well, there's a market for each and every one, man. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's wrap it up with. I guess one last question is, you know, is there any kind of collaboration or production project, or, you know, as a producer that you are, you know, that you would love to work on? Is there something that, you know, that you have like in your kind of, in the back of your mind as kind of like a bucket list item, like, oh, this is some, like a dream come true if I work on it, whether it's local or whether it's like something crazy, you know?
Well, I'd love to do like a full live session sort of thing, and that turns into an album. Yeah, I'd love to experience the, you know, how like, going to some sort of writing retreat with a group of people that you really want to work with, and you know, they're high caliber musicians, and like being in that one place, recording everything in that one place, and just, you know, absorbing the vibe of the place and putting it into some sort of musical thing. I'd love to do that. And definitely with people from Bahrain specifically. And I guess, especially these days, I've been leaning more towards collaborating with people from here. And because I'm finding some crazy, crazy guys and girls. Top tier talent. I'd love to do something like that, where it's you inhabit the album by having it all happen in this one location where everything is written, everything is recorded, everything is mixed, and خلاص, you leave that project and you leave that place, you know, with something done. That'd be really, really cool.
Yeah, I think you're primed. I think what's one of the advantages I think for you is right now is that you're primed. and I think for everybody, right? For anybody that's in this game of like being a producer or whatever, is that you can really carve yourself a niche of being the go-to producer or mixing engineer for this genre. So like, you know, in Bahrain, like, oh, you know, I'm an artist that's doing alternative music, pop, whatever, industrial, rock, metal, whatever. I know this guy that's can work on my stuff, and he will know what I'm working on, what I can do. And from there, you know, grow and grow. So, yeah, and I think that's like the ultimate goal, right? At the end of the day, right? Being the go-to, oh, yeah. this kind of like brand awareness, this kind of like, you know, top of mind awareness that this is the person to go to, right?
In the region. That's the goal for sure. That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. And if enough people can think of me, see that, you know, yeah, Hammond is the man for this job. Yeah, cool. That's a bucket list thing for sure.
Are you coming to XP this year?
I hope so.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
We bought our tickets.
We'll see you there, man, for sure.
Hello. Look forward to meeting you guys, doing this in IRL.
Yeah. All right, Hammandi, before we wrap it up, any shout-outs, any last thing that you want to say, any kind of upcoming projects, any upcoming content, any upcoming artists that you've worked with, anything you want to shout out, anyone, anything you want to talk about, anybody, anything to listen to or pay attention to?
Guitarists, pick harder. Please pick harder. Shout out to my boys from the DMT Experience who are doing really cool stuff from Bahrain. Shout out to Wezen. By the time this episode is out, there will be a Wezen EP out. So
awesome.
Yeah.
What's the name of the EP?
It's called For Those...
I forgot to put you on the spot.
Really bad with that. It's called For Those Who... No, it's not called For Those. I'm so stupid. It's called Those Who... Damn, why am I blanking? Give me a second. Those Who Fill Their Graves With Gold is the name.
Those Who?
Fill Their Graves With Gold.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah, you guys can edit that like a very stupid brain fart that happened.
No, it's okay. We'll keep it.
Doesn't even know the name of Ben's raw. Next EP. Oh, yeah.
It's raw. It's, you know, you're working on so much stuff. You just cannot at this point. Like, there's no space for you to even recall stuff. You know, it's fine. Sorry.
What's my name, bro?
Yeah, what's my name? All right, man. Hammandi,
it's been a pleasure
having you.
Thank you, guys.
It was wonderful having you on the show. And listen, we'd love to have you back again here.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Next time, you know, we'll hopefully, like, when you have something new as well that come out, we can come and discuss it and talk about it.
But, would love that.
For now, we bid you farewell. And we thank you for coming. And everybody, go check out Hammandi. There's going to be links in the description. Go check out the links for his stuff, and check out our playlist as well of the stuff that he talked about and his music as well. We're going to put some of that stuff there. We're going to put some of the really old stuff just to embarrass him, and then we'll put the new stuff as well.
You see anything before the year 2017?
We're going to put Behemoth. We're going to put the entire Behemoth album.
The entire record.
No, we won't do that. We'll just put one song from there, and then we'll put one song from the newer stuff. Or won't. Don't. Fine. Anyways, sorry. All right. Yellow. Mansoor, any last words?
Man, thank you so much for dropping by. We'll look forward to hearing your new stuff and seeing you at XP, man. Have a good one.
Hello.